The pandemic certainly has limited physical access to materials at the State Archives as it's operating on reduced hours. We talked to State Archivist Adam Jansen about the mission of the repository of some of the most important documents of our Hawaiʻi.
That was a bit of a challenge for us because, you know, it's Archives Month in October where we try to highlight what does archives do for people in their lives. And with us being closed, we had to go completely virtual this past year. And so for us, it was an amazingly new experience because what we did is we digitized huge portions of music-related collections to put online. So we digitized 7,000 pages of manuscript material and some 700 photographs.
The archives, you know, has been trying to make its collection available to the public online, but it is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work because we're dealing with two dynamics here. We have all the legacy materials, 14,000 boxes of paper records that date back to 1790, but then also all of the mea being produced today, which is in the digital format already. So how do you arrange and describe and make accessible this huge volume of digital materials while also making the past current and relevant and discoverable as well? And so a lot of our initiatives have been really focusing on those two issues and combining them into one repository so that the citizens, the researchers, the public only have one place to go to find all this information.
And for folks who may not know, people need documentation from the archives if they want to, you know, get into Kamehameha, or if they want their children to apply, or if they're dealing with something with land court, right? You need access to those documents.
That's correct. And this pandemic has really helped solidify for our stakeholders how important access to the archives is. You don't really realize how vital the records that we hold are until you try to defend your land rights. Until you try to do some genealogy research going back to kingdom, because perhaps you do want to get your children into Kamehameha schools. And then suddenly, if your access is blocked, you know, how do you reconnect with this history? How do you protect your rights without being able to come into the facility?
When are you open exactly?
So we are currently open Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And that's really not by our design, but by the fact that we are on Iolani Palace grounds, and so the grounds themselves are locked except for when the palace is open for tours. So as they expand their accessibility, we mirror that. So when they start opening the palace on Mondays and Tuesdays for tours, we'll also be open Mondays and Tuesdays.
Their crowds are different than your crowds. You don't have 30 people signed up to do an audio tour or a tour by a docent. Right? I mean, your clientele trickles in.
That is correct. And so we've had to reduce capacity for our research room right now to only 8 researchers at a time. And it's on a first-come, first-served basis. If there is a line, wait. We do institute a 2-hour minimum research time, and then we try to filter in the next person. And thus far, that 8 has been a good number. We haven't really reached that capacity point frequently, and very often we'll only have 2 or 3 researchers in an entire day.
Now, what about tours for lawmakers? Because you traditionally hold an event where a lot of the new lawmakers can come in and see what the archives are all about.
Yes, and unfortunately this year we've had to put that on hold because the entire way that legislators are conducting business in this environment, they're avoiding the Capitol themselves. A lot of their hearings that they have to do, they're doing it from remote offices, from their homes, so they're not physically here. So trying to get them together and having to limit it into very small groups just didn't work this particular legislative cycle.
Talk about the master plan to digitize your collection. You know, how have you been able to accelerate that?
Part of it is the fact that we are closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. We were closed for the, you know, the first 2 months of the pandemic. What that has allowed us to do is focus internally to look at what are the most important records that we need to push out first. And that was our finding aids, the indexes, so that researchers can do some analysis to say, does the archives even have what I'm looking for? So we digitized tens of thousands of pages of finding aid material, index cards, and have those on our website right now. And then beyond that, it's like, what is our biggest research base? What information do they need to access most desperately? And our initiatives have all been pushing towards digitizing genealogy records, marriage, birth, death, digitizing land records, and then matching them up to that existing index, which we've now not only digitized, but also entered into a database so that very shortly you'll be able to do searches on individuals or place locations and have these results come back.
And then at one time, I believe the State Archives was looking at digitizing photos from the Honolulu Advertiser and the Star Bulletin. Where are we at with that?
So right now we're focusing on digitizing our general photo collection. We have over 120 boxes of photographs in that collection, and we're about halfway through that project. We're about to upload another, I think, 25 boxes of photos into our super secret kind of sort of public. We're starting to unveil digital archives. And concurrently with that, we're still organizing the Star Advertiser collection, because when they gave it to us, it was over 500 boxes, banker-sized boxes of photographs. And so that's been a multi-year project to get organized, and we're about a third of the way through that. And so we're happy with the progress. We'd like to see more.
Okay, so that's the Advertiser's photos.
Correct.
And the Star Bulletin's photos, two papers that aren't in existence because they have melded into the Star Advertiser.
The photos are amazing look into the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It really fits. It fills a puka in our general photo collection, where we really didn't have a whole lot of photographs from that time period. And so being able to add that in, the famous individuals and events that occurred in those decades, has been a great benefit to us and to some of our researchers.
And, you know, last year we marked the anniversary of the State Capitol building. You know, you had ceremonies there. You folks had the time capsule that you unearthed, you discovered, rediscovered, and you put in a new one. Fortunately, we weren't in lockdown at that time.
It really was an amazing experience, because it's rare that you get to focus on such historic events in today's environment. You know, we're always so busy doing what we're doing. To just stop for a second and realize how far we've come, and to be able to say, we also want to leave something for future generations. So what should we put into this time capsule to capture who we are as a people today and what our hopes and dreams for them in the future are, and be able to lock that away for another 50 or 100 years? It really helped raise the awareness of the importance of who we are and where we want to go.
And what have you been able to do to document what we lived through last year, this pandemic?
I appreciate you asking that, because that is still an ongoing process. And we are asking for donations from the public of photographs, stories, oral histories, objects that help define what this past year was to them. With a particular emphasis, we're asking for those success stories. There's so much doom and gloom, and it's been an absolutely horrible time as far as people getting sick and the number of fatalities. And we need to remember that. But there's also been these successes, these everyday heroes, these teachers that are still reaching out to their students and being accessible, you know, well beyond normal school hours, to make sure that they have that opportunity to connect, to contact, to grow and learn. You know, to me, these are stories that don't get enough play, because there's only so much media bandwidth, that we want to document those. And so on our website, we do ask for solicitations. I've had several well-known photographers go out and take pictures of the food drives and teachers with the remote school rooms and all the closed businesses, so that we can preserve this and hopefully never forget it. We serve as the keepers of public memory, and we're taking that very literally in this case, to be proactive about capturing these things, because we shouldn't have to reinvent the wheel when this happens again. It's not a question of if. So all of these policies, all of the the work at the legislature, we're capturing all of those documents to put them in one single repository so that when needed, we can go back again to say what worked, what didn't, how long did it take to do things, what did they do, how can we improve it?
And I know you love your job, but is there anything recently that you can point to that sheds the light on a particular point in time in Hawaii history?
That's one of the most interesting things, I think, about the job that we have here in the archives. When you have 14,000 boxes of information, it's a little bit of everything. And you know, the most recent thing for us was the Archives Month celebration that we did last October. And the reason we chose that is it was the 100th anniversary of the return of Makia Kialakai from the mainland. He left during the Republic period because he refused to swear allegiance to the new government, took Hawaiian music to the mainland, and toured all over the U.S. playing Hawaiian music to huge, multi-tens of thousands crowds, and really helped broaden the influence of Hawaiian music into mainstream and developed a new style of guitar that was played by Elvis and Johnny Cash. And so you could argue that he influenced modern rock and roll. And we never would have known about this if we hadn't had a brilliant music historian come in and say, hey, did you guys know this was happening? And look at all these records you have, all these documents, photographs of him and his tours. And so for us, it's constantly a new discovery process as we share with the researchers and the things that they uncover.
And I should note that that wonderful exhibit that was at the Bishop Museum closed at the end of January, and I was able to catch it before it was taken down, and it was lovely. Wonderful slice of life in Hawaii history.
And again, a demonstration of how a little bit of everything for everybody here at the archives, and it's just a wonderful development and learning process to bring the past back.
And so hopefully we can look down 2021 and see a glimmer of hope that you folks will be able to be open 5 days a week.
We certainly hope so. You know, we're looking forward to that because we know we serve a vital function for public. You know, we protect the rights, identity, property, and history of the people of Hawaii. And as such, they need to have access. And the benefit, if there could be one out of 2020, is it helped show how important it is to make these resources accessible to those who cannot travel. Either they live on a neighbor island or they're physically unable to come down to the archives or take time off of work. So we're really pushing in 2021 to make more and more of these things accessible online.
Right. Digitize it and share it.
So for anybody who wants to, we have the beta version of our digital archives online. We would love for you to try it out. Give us some feedback. You know, the UI, the user interface is still in flux. We're trying to make it better and easier to find what you're looking for amongst the millions of pages of materials already online. So take a look at that at digitalarchives.hawaii.gov.
That was State Archivist Adam Jensen. State lawmakers are considering a bill this session to fund a master plan. What will the archives need for the next 50 years? It is close to capacity. Jensen says it will look at whether its future plans should include new gallery space or classrooms to meet the changing needs of the public. Lawmakers will be taking up bills in both the House and the Senate in the weeks to come.